Sunday Meditation, January 20th, 2002. The question today has to do with the concept of how we create our experience, our reality, by the way we think, by the way we believe. And we'd like Quo to give us, well, first of all, any indication of whether or not that might be correct, and if it is, how does that work? We would like to have more information on how we create a reality, how we can create a more harmonious reality.
We are those known to you as the principle of Akua, and we greet you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator, whose service we share with you. We thank you for forming a circle of seeking on this snowy day. It is a blessing to us to respond to your request for thoughts on the notion that beliefs can change your future. We are aware that in the sense that the world sees things, this may be very difficult to grasp. However, we believe it is correct, and we would be glad to share some thoughts about it. First of all, we must remember the creation that you experience and the creation that shall we say is the reality of which the creation is the illusion are very, very close together but are not the same thing. The illusion is as close as a heartbeat to the reality that is invested with physicality. So that you are actually a traveler in two worlds at the same time, the world of your outer experience and the world of your inner experience. To suggest that the inner experience influences the outer experience would not be to suggest something very unusual, for it is clear to all of those in the circle how much difference a person's attitude can make with regard to most situations faced. Certainly, it is easy to see that the glad smile or the way of making light of some perceived difficulty will always create an atmosphere which helps the people around one, if not the self, to feel better about an existing situation. Wherever the self or other people are concerned, the words said create not just an atmosphere, but a feeling. And that feeling predisposes the inner self in ways that are difficult to see, looking from the eyes of the world. In actuality, even that reality that you sense, that is the heartbeat away from the illusion, is not the end of the seeking for reality, for each of you is part of a group oversoul, shall we say, or a larger self that contains many seeming individuals that are not the self, but in actuality are part of the self. And these larger entities are part of even larger entities until you get to the level of planets and sun bodies and the kind of entities that have many orders of magnitude beyond the one that you now experience. All of these orders of reality are alike reality and illusion. However, the level at which one is working is very difficult to pin down in words, because in no case will it be that which is congruent with the outer reality, which is an illusion. Consequently, a great deal of the path of seeking the truth is, as the one known as Rumi said, discovering the depth of the truth that one cannot control all things in order for the self to feel comfortable, or the self will never feel comfortable. For all things cannot be controlled, and most things are not even, shall we say, supposed to be controlled. That is, we suggest to you that the apparent chances and changes of an everyday life have elements of excellence in all of the offerings spread before your experience each day. Not simply the seemingly fortunate happenstances, but also those accidents and misfortunes that seem to be quite the opposite of fortunate, that seem to be ill-starred or unlucky or even tragic. The way the illusion is set up is almost guaranteed to make it impossible for you to be able to control the inner universe. It is a situation where the outer personality shell attempts to order things so that the self will be comfortable. This is the usual choice for entities. They attempt to control the environment for comfort and for perceived goals that have to do with security and protection. The film that this entity was talking about earlier is an offering by a scientist who suggests that the role of the physical things that make up the body, the genetic structure of the body, is not as controlling and elective as it appears from the outside in. That what one has in the genetic structure of the self as inherited from the parents is not necessarily that which must be experienced. This entity explained that these genetic structures have a garment, and that garment is kept over the genetic structure in such a way that it does not appear or become activated in the life experience as long as this covering is allowed to remain over the genetic structure. This covering is made of proteins. These proteins are excited by incoming signals, which cause these proteins to express themselves first by electrical pulse, then by the exciting of the precise proteins that the electricity encourages, and then another electrical pulse to complete the errand started by the proteins, which come to either uncovering a genetic structure and causing it to be triggered, or leaving it as it is. This entity was simply saying that the belief of the person has the actual physical power to change the input signal that electrifies the protein, and that this change in belief will change the reaction of the physical body, so that if there is a tendency towards cancer in the family, by figuring out what positive things keep that sleeve on the cancer gene, and figuring out what things to avoid to keep from taking that sleeve off that gene, the cancer gene never needs to be excited, never needs to be uncovered, and never needs to be experienced. This is the basic idea behind this approach to attempting to bring the outer world and the inner world into one and create the reality that we would prefer rather than the reality that we see within our genetic structures and our heritage from our parents. This is the sense of this videotape that the instrument was talking about earlier. This is sound in terms of your own world's science. It is also sound in terms of what we believe to be so. It is very difficult for us to get into the real nitty-gritty of how you can talk to yourself as opposed to how someone else will talk to himself or herself. Each person has habits of mind which are not, shall we say, of the most hopeful or positive point of view. And with each person, there are different areas. These areas are very quirky, as this instrument would say. It is very much a matter of the day, the hour, the mood, and the catalyst within the life in any one day as to what areas of the thinking that you do in talking to yourself you get into, what mistakes you make in that particular day. And are they mistakes indeed? For if you are telling yourself something that is disempowering, like, I don't think I can do this job, perhaps you are telling yourself that so that you can stop and take a good look at the job and really ask yourself, is this the job I want to do? Or with a relationship, to ask yourself, is this the footing on which I want to be? Or is there another footing that would not only be more skillful, but would actually make me a happier camper, a happier person, a more efficacious human being, one that is more capable of learning,
loving, serving, and all of those things that you hope to do. So I suppose that what we are saying is that it is true beyond our ability to prove it, that what you think to yourself, what you say to those about you, has, to the extent that you believe what you are saying, or that you do not believe to the contrary, a power over your future. The question of time is most confusing, but it's very relevant to this discussion, because it is the nature of how time flows that is critical to the grasping of how it's possible for something as invisible as thought to affect physicality. So our first statement is simply that you may take it on faith, if you have faith, that this is so, and work with a will to discovering how to talk to yourself and how to talk to those about you in order to express what you most truly think is true, what you most deeply feel to be the case. Consequently, we are not suggesting that it is possible to look at a situation in which a house is on fire and say, but this is perfect. This will not stop the house from burning down. We will agree completely that thought concerning a seemingly unfortunate situation will not change the structure of that situation, at least not in the physical. However, think about the last time that you have heard someone who came through a fire. What were they saying? They were probably saying, thank God, my wife and my children are safe. All we lost was the house. Somehow, it is the function of bad fortune not to create tragedy in people's lives, but to open possibilities for thankfulness and for positive change. It might be a terrible opportunity for positive change to see one's house burn up or to see other disasters strike. Yet at the same time, with the gift of hindsight, one is able to look back on such passages through difficulty. And one is able to pinpoint the real quality and appreciated nuances of that experience that seemed in the present moment to be a dreadful thing, but seen from the future looking backwards, it becoming almost the opposite, almost a boon, almost a point of fortune, because of the learnings and the maturity that were gained during the experience. So when faced with something that you perceive to be a difficulty, we are not suggesting that you simply put on rose-colored glasses and say that a difficulty is not a difficulty. Rather, what we encourage is that thoughtful approach that is willing to accept the two-natured quality of all apparent experience. That there is an outer quality to the experience, and that is what you are seeing, feeling, touching, tasting, sensing in that way. There is also an inner quality to the experience. Now, this inner quality is a very subtle thing and not a simple one. It is made up of the way you are at the moment, on the surface personality level, plus those deeper levels of the self, where you have let some sunlight into deeper, more profound parts of the self, where you are aware of some of your some of the geographies of mood and emotion that have created themselves into structures in your inner life. You might be in that inner structure where you are comfortable and you are in a role that you enjoy. You may be in a structure where you do not have everything explored yet. You are still the seeker, the discoverer of the self. You may be at that level where much is unknown and where you may feel relatively uncomfortable. Yet you feel that you are in a very true part of the self. It is just one you have not become fully acquainted with yet. And these structures of familiar roles and unfamiliar roles, old things and new things, create a kind of three-dimensionality to the inner life. It is almost impossible to put into words, but we feel that you grasp what we are trying to say. That there is, in the self that comes to the moment, a great deal more than meets the eye. Not just the personality meeting the day, but the personality at a certain point in a very long journey, with a lot of energy behind that journey and a lot of energy in front of that journey. When you're just picking a point in the illusion, you come into awareness and have this lifetime and have these experiences. And so you are just sort of sticking up into the outer reality with this physical vehicle, this personality shell, and the enormous weight of many, many lifetimes, many, many experiences, and many desires fulfilled and yet unfulfilled. This is each seeker situation as the awakening occurs. Again and again, there is the awareness that the situation is far more than a simple present moment, and that the full reaction to that present moment is coming from places near and far within the self, so that the self that meets the moment is always a unique individual, unique to that day, that time, that mood, that catalyst. We do not see time as you see time. We see time in more of a circle. We see your experiences as circles within that circle. And we see all of it with much more capacity to allow for the complexity of the true situation without needing to define it. Consequently, we find it much easier to have, shall we say, a pleasant existence. We are not within that dense physicality that blocks much of the vision that you have in an inner sense. It blocks it specifically because you are supposed to be thrown off balance and disturbed by the illusion. You are supposed to become involved and lose your objectivity and make mistakes. And when you do that, you feel as though you have failed, and yet at the same time, you are fulfilling each desire of your heart, just not in the order and with the comfort that you had perhaps intended. Yet, all of these things that seem to crop up in the present are a mixture of those things that happen in the outer world without any rhyme or reason, the weather, the car breaking, and so forth, and those things that happen for a great many inner reasons that create situations where it will be a totally different experience if there is poor weather or if the car breaks, because of the richness of your inner experience and the way that it has delivered you to the present moment. Now, in this present moment, you are sowing the seeds of a future. And this is where it gets interesting from our point of view, because of the fact that this is what so many of those who have awakened have come here specifically to do at this time, and that is to make a difference in the future of your planet in the short run. And the difference has to do with how each individual spirit, each seeker, sees the present and sees the future. And here is where that self-fulfilling prophecy comes into play. It is easy enough to see that if this entity named Carla can smile while she is in pain, she affects the lives of those around her to the point where, as they did before this meditation, they asked this instrument, how is it that you can feel pain and not react? To this instrument, it was not a question easily answered, because as far as this instrument knew, she was reacting to pain. She simply was apparently better than she thought at keeping it to herself. This is true of each of you. Each of you has those areas that other people think, oh, that person is doing very well. But to you yourself, you are aware of the gap between that which was hoped for and that which was achieved in terms of the quality of the personal response to that moment, the quality of that response of the heart to consciousness itself. But we say to you that each of you is a tremendously powerful fulcrum, and the present is the pivot. And what you do in this present moment with regards to your belief about the future of humankind will redound either to the safe birthing of planet Earth into fourth density positive with all of the inhabitants of the planet more or less kept safe, or it will redound to a global catastrophe wherein all of the magnetic fluxes that are presently unstable will become stabilized. Either future is at this time, as far as we can see, entirely possible. The future is in the hands of you and you and you, each of you. And it is within the belief system of each of you. Think of how one person who chooses to bring faith into a present moment, to bring the love of the heart into the present moment, affects that present moment and affects the mood of those about that person that is expressing love and light. Think about those moments in your own life when you have found that moment of grace and won through to a good attitude, and how empowered you did feel and how it did change the outward reality simply because you had risen to the occasion with a happy heart. Think of how you have blighted your own life in times when you have taken the negative view and talked yourself deeper and deeper into sadness and sorrow and despair. It is not always possible to create the future in big, bold strokes. It's not always possible to express in a day, in a week, in a month, or in a year, the beauty that you are capable of appreciating in even one moment. It seems on a thousand different levels as if the treasure of life and its beauty were falling away far quicker than life's difficulties and travails. And we suggest that for the faithful one, the path lies in continuing to play the hand that you're dealt, to enjoy the weather that the day holds, to deal with those chores that seem to need to be dealt with as best you can, and retain, insofar as you can, beyond all of those things, a remembrance that has nothing to do with what's happening. A remembrance that is stubborn against seeming reality. A remembrance of an internal reality that to you overmatches the pale colors of the physical world. And that is that inner world of your own heart, your own soul, your own spirit. When you are quiet in those moments that come to be so treasured, when they do come, you feel the truth of the self, the beauty of your sweetheart, the strength of your soul, and the power that is within you. Rest insofar as you can in the memory of those moments when you did feel connected to the Creator, when you did feel you were part of the love that is all that there is, when you had the connections that made you unified and positive and hopeful. A life in faith is not a life in which the faith is always expressed. Rather, it is a life full of mistakes that, when self-perceived, are addressed with the best that the self has to address those perceived mistakes. If you have the willingness to retain that sense of self when everything goes wrong, and to win through after all the difficulties and the emotions have been expressed to the remembrance of that self, then you will be living a good spiritual life. For it is not living smoothly and wisely and all things being even that is the hallmark of the rich spiritual life, but rather, it is that often challenged self, that self that is held accountable after being comforted, and comforted after being held accountable.
That is where the skill lies, in not giving up upon the thought, in not giving up because of perceived failure, but rather in seeing that one cannot see at all times into the pattern that lies beneath the seeming chaos of the day. That remembrance is enough to keep you faithful or faith-filled with regards to the future. It is as though that remembrance of the self beyond all of the mental and emotional patterns, the remembrance of that spiritual self, the remembrance of those times of connection with the Creator, enables the self to pick itself up, brush itself off, and try again. And there is that skill with which the future will become a positive and ever more shining thing. That bare remembrance of who you are and what the process is all about. It is not about creating beautiful moments, although it is wonderful to create beautiful moments. It is about being real as the self can be. And that will often lead one astray. That will often lead one to errors in judgment, so perceived by the self, to wrong decisions, so perceived by the self. The more the thought is taken, the more the mentality is invoked to rationalize and to analyze, the less the self will be able to connect with those deeper strata of internal structures, which actually are throwing up the deeper patterns of life in your incarnation, in terms of the large strokes of life, the relationships, the jobs, the situations that are seen to continue from year to year and constitute continuing lessons for yourself. You are not a solid. You are a vibration. You are an energy field that has connections to absolutely all other energy fields in the universe. You are connected to them through a series of orders of magnitude and of, shall we say, reality, that are understandable only from a larger viewpoint. Many times within the life experience, you will not be able to see how a certain situation could possibly be one in which love abides. But this is always the question to turn to, that one offered by those above. Where is the love in the moment? This is a question that is always productive, that one may ask the self at a crux in the present. And by finding where the love lies for you in this moment, and placing yourself there, there is how you affect the future. You're choosing what you desire because you desire it. That is understood. But in terms of responding to that which is given, you have the skill and you have the chance at each offering to ask the self, where is the metaphysical structure of this moment? What speaks to me from a larger point of view that really informs the situation for me? The one known as Rumi suggested the fear contracting around the vehicle breaking down and needing to be fixed, even though the financial situation was no longer so tight that this constituted an actual emergency. Yet still, even though money could now be spent on the car and it simply needed to be fixed, there is the contraction around the event because of old impulses, old emotions that have set a pattern of belief. Now, you may continue having that pattern and fearing and being glad when a repair is accomplished. Or one can take the opportunity, as the one known as Ro have done, to ask yourself, is this actually the best pattern for me to go through this experience holding, or should I hold perhaps a different pattern since my illusion has actually changed? Naturally, we agree. We would suggest that the one known as Rumi create a new pattern, one that makes this entity comfortable with having to deal with the necessary maintenance of all that is physical, for those things which are within your illusion have as their heart mortality. So it is known beforehand that all machines and engines will at one point or another not work, and they will have to be repaired. This is the inevitable price of being in the illusion at all. Your time is limited. And a time for you to think about what you truly desire for the future is limited. This is indeed the hour when all entities who wish to serve for the light can feel assured that their service will count. Each of you is here upon earth, as are we within the influence of your Earth's inner planes, because of the exciting and interesting times in which you live. Each is aware of the powerful wind of change. Each is aware of the potential of the future for good or for ill. How shall you react to this present moment? How shall your beliefs create your future? We assure you, you each have a great deal of power. And it is a power that is precious. It is a power that is precious. For many, many upon planet Earth at this time, this is a crowning incarnation. This is the
end of a pattern, or the potential end of a pattern and the beginning of new patterns. It is a very exciting time. It is a difficult time. Each of you has, shall we say, sacrificed a great deal in order to be upon earth at this time to do what you could to serve the light. So we just encourage you to take heart. You are on course. Those efforts that you sense will be helpful are those efforts that you should focus on. Opening the mind always for new ways, but trusting in your own inner feelings and hunches, those intuitions that tell you, yes, this is where I should be and this is what I should be doing. All is well. You truly do hold a world in your mind. May you birth within your own life that sense of self that is at peace with what is. And that seeks only the presence of the one infinite creator and the witness to that infinite creator, to yourself and to the world about you as you are given the light. Each of you has much to give. Each of you has inspiration to share. Some in one way, some in another, some by pounding nails, some by walking streets, some by what they say, some by what they do to serve. Everyone is a part of an incredibly rich pattern in which you are involved in all of humankind and all of the life within your density and within all the densities of this creation and of all creations beyond. Allow yourself to rest in the oneness of all that is. Allow yourself respite and comfort. And yet at the same time, ask of yourself always to be responsible when you have the light to see that responsibility. And that is simply the responsibility to be who you are and to be true. We would exercise the one known as Jim. And we leave this instrument in love and in light. With thanks to this instrument, we are those of Akua. We transfer at this time.
I am Kwa, and we greet each again in love and in light through this instrument. At this time, it is our privilege to offer ourselves in the attempt to speak to any further queries which may yet remain upon the minds of those present. Is there another query at this time?
I've been, for some reason, just kind of curious as to the Kuo's been, third density experience. What can you tell us about it?
I am Kuo, and am aware of your clear method. As you may be aware, we of the principle of Kuo are a principle because we are of more than one source or origin. Those of Latui who are of the density of light have joined with those of Hepton of the density of love and have joined with those of Ra of the density of unity. Those of Ra, as you are aware, experienced their third density upon the planet which you call Venus, and were honored to have a most efficient experience within the third density of Venus. The many entities which formed the eventual social memory complex of Venus had a most harmonious third density upon that planetary sphere and moved quickly, shall we say, through that experience with a significant portion achieving a graduation within the first cycle of 25,000 years, a larger portion within the second cycle. And the third cycle saw the joining of the social memory complex by all of the population of that sphere. Those of Hepon and those of Latui had somewhat similar third density experiences upon planets which are distant from this solar system and which are as yet undiscovered by your astronomers. Thus, the name or place of such is meaningless. Yet, each social memory complex has found the third density experience to be that which has produced the tempering of seeking, the fire of the testing was intense and true, and we have been privileged to become that which you call Kuo for the purpose of these transmissions at this time. Is there another clue, Michael?
With all these different originating points, how did you meet or get together or become a principal?
I am Kuo, and am aware of your query, you might know. As a planetary population moves from the third density, the density of choice, into the density of compassion, love, and understanding, there is at that time the obvious blending of each individual within the social memory complex And this blending is assisted by those, what you would call angelic presences, or teachers and guides, which represent the confederation of planets in the service of the One Infinite Creator. This confederation, then, when there is the opportunity to offer membership, shall we say, to a new social memory complex, does so by sending emissaries of light that acquaint the potential members with the opportunity to expand the service to others and to the One Creator by becoming a part of this confederation of planets. And in this confederation there is the opportunity to blend energies, efforts, and services with many other social memory complexes. The formation of the a principle which you call Quo has been an effort to maintain contact with this group by those who have previously served this group in a particular fashion. Those of Hetan have offered introductory messages for many of your years through not only this group but others as well upon this planetary sphere. This is true also for those of Latwi, although to a lesser degree, for those of Latwi are more, shall we say, silent in that they serve as what you would call comforter for many individual seekers upon this planetary sphere and others as well. Those of Ra have had contact with this group in previous times and were desirous of maintaining a contact, however stepped down it was necessary to make, so that there could be the continuing of the service that was begun more than two of your decades ago. Is there another query, Michael?
Well, do you foresee that you'll, the conditions would be right to make more direct contact? Do you see that any foreseeable future anytime soon?
I am aware of your query, my brother. And we do not see any more direct contact with the population of this planet or any portion of it than that contact which we now are honored to pursue. Is there another query, Michael?
Not right now, not for me, thanks.
I am quoted. We thank you, my brother. Is there another query at this time?
No, not for me, thank you.
No, thank you.
Well, maybe I lied. Maybe I had one more. My understanding is that Venus was not indigenous to the solar system. Experiences of, I guess, Ra and Venus, understanding it's from approximately 19 light years away, was their experience before it became kind of a wandering planet or after it reached the solar system?
I am, quote, am aware of your query, my friend. We are aware that there are many theories as to the origin of each of the planetary spheres within this solar system. There are many who seek to be of service by giving information of one kind or another. The transmission in many cases has been tenuous and occasionally misinterpreted. We are not aware of the planetary sphere, which you call Venus, having been of any other origin than the solar system in which it now moves and has its appeals. Is there another query, my friend?
No, just curious, this information I had read at some other juncture, other channel, that I was just curious about. But no, thanks.
I am cool. And again, we thank you, my brother. We do appreciate each query which this group offers to us at these circles of seeking. For we are aware that each entity has within it the great desire to pursue those areas of mystery and the unknown. For both within and without each seeker, there is an abundance of mystery. It is the purpose and focus of the mind to seek those answers to queries which the heart asks. However, there are often more opportunities for the answers to occur when both mind and heart are opened in harmony. We are known to you as those of Kuo. At this time, we would take our leave of this instrument and this group. We lead each as always, in the love and in the ineffable light of the one infinite creator. Adene, my friends. Adene.
Adene.
Love.